Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
All right, if you're good, you get to eat my cake. So they did it in the first service and they told me, that's it, we're not going to do it in the second service. So I was genuinely surprised. And let me tell you, I don't do aging very well. Actually, I hated the fact that I turned 50 this week and I didn't plan to do anything. But, you know, I thank God for Mike and the leaders of this church. They planned a surprise birthday party for me last Thursday. But I found out about it because a couple of days before, Huda said, you got to clean the house. People are coming. So she was not very subtle. So, no, thank you so much for your prayer. I really appreciate it. I believe now that I should rejoice because today is a special, well, not today, last Thursday on the 12th was a special day. It's the day that God has decided in his wisdom to make me. And, you know, even though you don't want to be around, maybe your parents didn't plan you, but the fact that you are here, that means God wants you here, not to just take up space. God has a wonderful plan for each and every one of our lives. Amen? So that's why I'm grateful. If you're new here, welcome to church, everybody. It's good to have you here. Our slogan here is no perfect people allowed. They allow me to be a pastor here, so we believe in this slogan really, really much. And so wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you may not even be a Christian, or maybe you used to be a Christian and you don't care for it anymore. It doesn't matter. I'm just so glad that you're here. And we're here every weekend because we believe that we need God's grace and we need God's forgiveness. And God has made that available to us 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. And that grace and forgiveness is available to you as well. So we pray that someday you will receive it and you'll become part of our church family. But wherever you are in your spiritual journey, come, journey along with us in this journey of faith. Welcome also our YouTube viewers, podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in. I want to start by asking you questions. Have you ever met someone that you wish you hadn't met? Or let me make it less personal. Have you ever wished that your husband had not met people that they have met? Have you ever wished that your kids did not meet the people that they met? See, relationship is a really, really strange thing. It's a strange dynamic. Isn't it true, if I ask you this question, that our greatest regrets are often connected to the people that we met? Our greatest regrets are often connected to people that we met. I'm not talking about enemies. I'm not talking about people who are strangers to you, all right? I'm talking about people that you play with. I'm talking about people that you work with. I'm talking about people that you are a part of on a regular basis, okay? So people who are supposed to be our friends are often the cause for our greatest regret. Isn't that right? Now, today, we're going to talk about this concept of this idea, this dynamic of friendship. We are in the second week of our series, Guardrails, all right? And in this series, we talk about the importance of having guardrails in our life. And for those of you who missed it, let me just do a quick recap what guardrails is all about. This is the definition of a guardrail. It is a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. That's what a guardrail is there for. In other words, a guardrail is there to direct and to protect. It is to direct us to the direction that we need to go and to protect us from straying into places that we're not supposed to go. Okay? And one of the most important things that we need to know about guardrail is this, that guardrails are placed not in the danger zone, but guardrails are placed a few feet away from the danger zone in the safety zone. Okay? And nobody complains. Nobody argues over the logic of this. No one says, well, I wish I have that 3 feet extra space on the left so that I can drive closer to the edge. Nobody says that. You know why? Because guardrails are designed to minimize damage. You may, if you hit a guardrail, you may cause damage to your car. You may have to bring your car to a repair shop. But at least, maybe you didn't have to go to hospital. Maybe you don't have to die. All right? Guardrails are there to minimize damage. And that's why we need guardrails in our life. And if I ask you this question again, isn't it true that some of your greatest regrets might have been avoided if you had established some relationship guardrails? If you had established some financial guardrails, some moral guardrails, some professional guardrails, okay? That's why we talk about this, and that's why it's important for you to keep coming back as we explore this idea more and more every week. And we're up for a challenge because culture doesn't encourage us to use guardrails. Culture is perfectly happy for you to just have painted lines, all right? To have gray areas. For example, we say things like drink responsibly when it comes to alcohol. Wait until you're ready when it comes to sex. We tell our young people that. Consolidate your debt. Listen to your heart. The worst advice ever, okay? These are great, maybe helpful to some people, but they are not guardrails there to protect you from straying into dangerous territories, into dangerous areas. And today, specifically, I want to talk about your friends. I want to talk about your associates. Now, before I continue, it is important for me to give a disclaimer, okay? I'm not asking you to not have any association. I'm not asking you to not have any association with your unchurched friends. In fact, that's the opposite of what I want you to do. In this church, we really believe we're not meant to be a holy club. I want you to spend as much time as possible out there with people who are not necessarily like you, people who don't believe the same thing you believe, because you are there to be light and salt to these friends of yours, right? I'm not asking you to not have any such friends. In fact, I want you to spend more and more time with them. But I'm talking about your friends, your associates, once again, people that you work with, people that you play with, people that are part of your life on a regular basis, okay? Now, maybe you're thinking, aren't you being judgmental? You don't know my friends. I've been with my friend for years now. Are you asking me to stop associating myself with my friends? Are you asking me to be judgmental towards them? No, I'm not asking you to do that, all right? There's a difference. It's not about being judgmental. When we talk about friendship guardrails, it's not about being judgmental. It is about exercising good judgment. Maybe you're thinking, man, that's just semantic, Daniel. You're just playing, that's just play on words. Well, there is a big difference between being judgmental and exercising good judgment. Being judgmental means you're forming an opinion about what another person should or should not do. In other words, you set yourself up as a what? Start with the letter J. As a judge, that's right. So you are there to judge others, and maybe you even look down on them if they don't behave, if they don't believe, if they don't do things that you would do. I'm not asking you to do that, all right? You're not to be judgmental towards others. Instead, I'm asking you to exercise good judgment. Good judgment is about me. It's not about other people. It's about drawing conclusions about myself based on wisdom. In light of my past experience, we talked about this last week. In light of my past experience, what tempted me the most, in light of my past marriage, in light of my past relationship, in light of my present circumstances, the fact that I just got a job, the fact that I just broke up from a relationship, and in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wisest thing for not everybody else, not even for my friends, what is the wisest thing for me to do? That's just exercising good judgment. I'm not asking you to judge your friends. I'm not asking you to judge yourself. In light of all this, what is the wisest thing for me, not for my friends, for me to do? In other words, I'm not telling you how you should live your life. I'm not telling you what you should believe. I'm not telling you where you should go. I'm not judging you. I'm talking about myself here, okay? In light of my past experience, where I am now, and where I want to go, I don't think it's a good idea for me to have a relationship with you. I don't think it's a good idea for me to start this business venture with you. I don't think it's a good idea for me to join the club that you want me to join. Not that there's anything wrong with you joining that club. I'm talking about me. You see the difference? Yeah? You know why this is so important? This is so important. Let me tell you. Because your friends, your associates, determine the direction and the quality of your life. Your friends determine the direction and the quality of your life. You know this, right? Growing up, your parents were paranoid about what? Growing up as a child, your parents or people who brought you up, they were paranoid about your friends. I don't want you to go there. I don't want her to come here. I don't want you to date her. If you were a little girl and you know when you were growing up, I guarantee, well, I don't guarantee you, but it is very likely that your mom might have read your diary. All right? She knew where you kept the key. And then, if you are at the receiving end of this, you complain to your parents. That's why you complain to your parents, right? Mom, Dad, it's not fair. You're judging my friends. You don't know my friends. You're being judgmental towards them. And your parents said, no, I'm not. I'm just exercising good judgment. And now you are a parent. Now you know how they felt, right? Now you are even more paranoider about your kids' friends than your parents were. And nowadays, thank God for Facebook and Instagram and all that, you know everything there is to know about your kids' friends by the time you meet them. Am I right? You know where they live, you know who their parents are, where their parents work, where they used to go to school. You know everything about them. Now, is that being judgmental? No. That just means you're nosy. And it's good. You know why it's good? Because you care. Because, you know, now your kids complain to you. Mom, Dad, you don't understand my friends. You're being judgmental towards my friend. To which you will say, it's not about being judgmental. It's about exercising good judgment. I'm not your friend's parent. I am your parent. As long as you live under my roof, I'm here to take care of you. So I'm exercising good judgment here. Because your parents know and you know that our friends determine the direction and the quality of our life. Isn't that correct? Do you know that you are an acceptance magnet? Every single one of you. Even if you call yourself an introvert, you are an acceptance magnet. You know what that means? That means you are drawn to an environment, you are drawn to a group of people who accepts you, all right? Who accepts you. And that's why every one of us is an acceptance magnet. And it can be good, it can be bad. That's why friendship is a wonderful thing. Friendship can be a wonderful thing, and we need friends in our lives. But it depends on what kind of friends, because friendship can be horrible as well. How many of you have heard of this girl called Lynette Fromm? She was a 17-year-old girl, all right? An innocent 17-year-old girl coming out of a broken home. And she met with Charles Manson, a known serial killer, a cult leader. And then she somehow was brainwashed to assassinate President Ford in 1976. But she failed in her attempt because her gun got stuck. That's the only reason. All right? And when she was interviewed by a magazine, why she would do such a thing and why she would join Charles Manson and his cult, this is what she said. Whoever loves me first can have my life. Whoever loves me first can have my life. Now, that doesn't explain still why an innocent 17-year-old could change her mind like that. You're not talking about, you know, doing drugs. You're talking about killing people. All right? And Charles Manson is a serial killer. You know, several years ago, there's a professor out of Northwestern University. His name is Moran Serve. And he did a study over 10 years long to study the relationship between decision-making and relationships. You know what he found out? This is like mind-boggling. This is like incredible. He discovered that people who spend a lot of time together, guess what? their brainwaves started to become identical to one another. Their brainwaves. So we're not talking about behavioral here. We're talking about neurological. Okay? This is what he wrote. He said, the more we study engagement, we see time and again that just being next to certain people actually aligns your brain with them. In fact, it happened right now. Look to your left. Look to your right. Your brainwaves are aligning. Rohan, your brainwave is aligning with his brainwave right now. Right? You're smiling, you're laughing. In fact, it just proved that this theory is true. What just happened? I said something, right? Words somehow, you know, were carried into this air, and then you heard it, and then you process it in your brain, and now you just smile and laugh with 300 strangers. Just now. With people you don't even know. Right? So he was absolutely right. And he said this, and this is why it's important. If people want to maximize happiness, that's me, and minimize stress, that's you, that's all of us. Relax. So if people want to maximize happiness and minimize stress, they should, very simple, surround themselves with people who embody the traits they prefer. The more you do this, the more your brainwaves will align with the people whose trait that you like. And then he concluded, over time, they will naturally pick up those desirable attitudes and behavior without you making an effort. All right? But the opposite is true as well. If you spend a lot of time with people whose traits you don't like, guess what? Whose traits you don't really agree with, you're going to pick up some undesirable attitudes and behaviors. See, the strange thing is this. Over 3,000 years ago, Solomon, the wisest man who's ever lived, all right? He's the third king of Israel, Saul, David, and then Solomon. This is before we know anything about brains and brainwaves. He said exactly the same thing. Yeah, and Dr. Moran Searles would totally agree with Solomon because Solomon, over 3,000 years ago, wrote this. That's why you have to pick up your Bible. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. Notice the conjunction, the connector, and. That indicates sequence. That means when the first happens, sequentially, the next one will happen. Walk with the wise and you become wise. You don't have to write a note. You don't have to study for exam. Just spend enough time with the wise. Eventually, you will become wise. That's what Solomon says. In other words, wisdom is contagious. Wisdom is contagious. He doesn't end there. He continues. He says, for a companion of fools suffers harm. In the older translation, it says, but. I like that better. I like but better. Because it's a contrast. But a companion of fools suffer harm. Who are the fools? The fools are the opposite of the wise. Who are the wise? We talk about this. The wise are those who are able to see that life is connected to one another, that your past is connected to your present. And your present is a good indicator of the future, right? You are wise when you can see that connection. But fools, we don't call people fools nowadays, and we don't want to offend people. When the Proverbs talk about fools, they're not talking about intellectually not smart. Fools are those who don't see the connection in life. They don't see that the past affected their present. And they don't see that their present is a good indicator of their future. Solomon says, a companion of fools suffers harms. And this is very interesting, all right? When you read the Bible, let me give you a tip on Bible reading. I taught this to the follow class on Tuesday. Len is there. And I said, what the Bible doesn't say is as important as what the Bible says. Yeah? This is very interesting because this is Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry uses a lot of what we call synonymous parallelism. That means you're saying the same thing in a slightly different way. So Paul is saying this, walk with the wise and become wise. In other words, hang out with wise people and you will become wise. Now, you would expect him to say, hang out with foolish people and you will become foolish, right? You expect him to say that, but he didn't. He said, you know what? It's much worse than that. It's much, much worse than that. If you hang out with foolish people, not only will you become foolish yourself, but you will suffer harm. That's why parents are paranoid about with whom their kids play with. It's not so much like, okay, my kids will start following, you know, what they do, but even before your kids follow what their friends do, they might suffer harm. They might receive the sharpener as a consequence of their behavior, the action of their friends. Am I right? So that's why Solomon says, this is so important. You got to pay attention to wisdom, all right? Walk with the wise. Spend enough time with the wise. Automatically, you will become wise, but spend enough time with fools, you're going to destroy your life. In other words, friends who aren't careful with their lives won't be careful with your life. Your friends who are not careful with their marriage, they're not going to be too careful to guard your marriage. Friends who aren't careful with their reputation, they don't care so much about your reputation. Friends who don't care about their health will not care about your health. It makes sense, right? Friends who don't care about your finance, they couldn't care less about your finance. Friends who don't care about their faith, maybe they don't even have faith. You think they care about your faith? Of course they don't. Friends who don't care about their future, they will not care about your future. That's what Solomon is saying. Be careful who you associate yourself with. Friends who don't take care of themselves won't take care of yourself. I know this is bad English. It's supposed to be friends who don't take care of themselves won't take care of you, but it doesn't rhyme. It's not good. All right? So just take it. Take it and go. Okay? Some people ask me, aren't guardrails supposed to be two words? Well, I Googled this. It can be spelled two words. It can be one word. I'm just here to confuse you. Sometimes I spell it with two words, one word. See what I did there? To keep you engaged. Friends who don't care about themselves won't take care of you. Am I right? Friends who lie and cheat would feel better if you lie and cheat. It just makes sense, right? That's why this is so important. And maybe you're thinking, Daniel, you're being too hard on us. You know, you're being too hard on our friends. I mean, I've been friends with them for many years. You know, nothing happened. I'm not doing bad things. I'm not breaking the law or anything. See, this is what guardrails is all about. Remember what I told you about the danger zone and the safe zone? The point of a guardrail isn't to keep you from doing bad things. The danger zone, that's too late. All right? The whole point of guardrails is to light up your conscience. So that means you're still in the safe zone. That's why you can argue with me, but I'm not doing anything bad. Yes, that's the whole point. I don't want you to do anything bad. It'll be too late by then. So that you know when you're getting close to doing bad things. Do you follow? That's why there's so much pushback with having guardrails in life. That's why culture doesn't encourage guardrails. Because as far as they're concerned, we're being too legalistic. What are you talking about? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not breaking the law. I just have dinner with her. I just go and play and listen to music with him, you know? So you don't think you're doing anything wrong, but that's the whole point of guardrails. So, in the time that we have left, I want to show you five guardrails, if you like, that you can put in place so that you will not fall over the edge, okay? So that your conscience will be lit up when this happens, okay? So the first thing is this. Your conscience should light up when you realize that your core group, this is the people you spend a lot of time with, isn't moving in the direction that you want your life to be moving. When it dawns on you, man, my core group of friends, they're not going in the same direction that I want to go. I mean, I have a lot of things in common with them, and I love to play golf with them. I love to hang out and play music with them, right? But if I can be honest with myself, it dawns on me, they're moving in the totally opposite directions that I want to go. So it's like you're hitting a guardrail. You haven't done anything wrong yet, but when your conscience light up about this, then you know, okay, maybe you should do something about this association, about this friendship. Number two, when you catch yourself pretending to be someone other than who you really are, when you start nodding your head when they say things, when you should be like shaking your head, or when you shake your head when you should be nodding your head. See, your brain waves are starting to align with their brain waves, all right? That's a guardrail. That means you're hitting a guardrail. Once again, you haven't done anything wrong, but that's a guardrail that you hit. Number three, when you feel pressured to compromise, when things that in a million years you would never consider doing, but suddenly it becomes a life option for you. Suddenly, this is a possibility for you. Man, that's a guardrail right there, right? Before the association, maybe you think, man, I would never do such a thing. But now, suddenly it's a life option. It is a guardrail when you feel pressured to compromise, when you start entertaining some options, all right? Number four, when you catch yourself thinking, I'll go, but I won't participate. I'll go, but I won't participate. How many of you, if you're a parent, again, parents, right? If your teenage daughter comes to you, Mom, I'm going to spend a weekend with 12 guys. There's going to be a lot of alcohol. Their parents are not home, but I'll go, but I won't participate. How many of you parents would buy that from your teenage daughter? You won't buy it, right? You are fooling yourself. Do you know that you are so good at fooling yourself? I'll go, but I won't do what they do. To which Dr. Cerf will say, spend enough time with them. I disagree, he said. Spend enough time with them, your brain waves will start aligning with their brain waves, and pretty soon you'll start doing what they do. And finally, number five, your conscience should light up when you hope the people you care about don't know your whereabouts. Again, you might not be doing anything bad at that place, but if you don't want them to know where you are, that's a guardrail that you just hit. Okay? Now, why am I talking about this? You know, why do I care so much about this? Maybe you think, Daniel, I think you're making a mountain out of nothing here. You know, you're being too legalistic. You care too much. Let me tell you why I disagree. For some of you, this is personal. For some of you, your life is ruined because of the relationship that you were in. For some of you, experience this firsthand. What happened to your daughter? What happened to your son? You experience this firsthand, what happened to your husband or ex-husband? What happened to your wife or ex-wife? Right? Suddenly, it makes sense. Because let me tell you, tomorrow, there'll be thousands of people who live in this area, in this community. There'll be hundreds of thousands of people who live in our city. There'll be millions of people who live in Australia. Tomorrow morning, they will stare into a bathroom mirror or look at the person they woke up with and wonder, how did this happen? How did this ever happen to me? And the answer is because they didn't put guardrails in their life. That's why I'm telling you, this is very important. If you think it cannot happen to you, you're wrong. Wisdom will win out eventually. One last verse for you. Jesus said this wonderful thing. Not too many people know about this, all right? But Jesus always had people that were against him. You know, for every point that Jesus made, there's a group of people who had a counterpoint to everything that Jesus said. So finally, Jesus said, I don't know what kind of tone he said this in, but he said this. Maybe you don't know that this is in the Bible. Jesus said, wisdom is proved right by all her children. What does that mean? That means over time, wisdom will be proven right. Right? Right now, as we talk about this, maybe in your head, you can have 5 counterpoints for every 5 points that I just made. Why I was wrong and you were right. And maybe if we have 15 minutes, we can argue. And maybe you will win out in that argument. Maybe I'll lose. Maybe I said, you're right. I don't have a comeback to what you say. You know, you may win your case in a courtroom, but let me tell you, at the end of the day, it's not about who win an argument. At the end of the day, Jesus said, just give it time. Wisdom will prove itself right. All right? So, what is the takeaway for us? It's very simple. I don't want you to stop spending time with, you know, some friend of yours that you are thinking of right now, okay? Again, as I said before, the reason why we're here as followers of Christ is because we want to shine our light for the people who still live in the darkness. They don't know about God. They don't know about God's grace. How can we reach out to them if we don't invest our life in their lives? So by all means, go to their birthday parties, as I said, you know, attend their kids' soccer grand final games, you know, do all those things. Be involved in the lives of your friends. But you still have to put up relational guardrails, because relational guardrails are not a lack of concern or love. One day, those people may need you. If you don't have those guardrails, you may fall into the ditch with them, and then you're not going to be able to be there to help them. All right? But if you put guardrails in your life, then suddenly, if and as and when your friends do fall into the ditch, because you have put up some guardrails, you are able to help them. That's the reason. We do this out of love, not just for ourselves, but for the people that we care about. Imagine with me as we close. You know, I read this story so many times, and I told this story numerous times as well. Can you imagine if Lynette had met a really accepting youth group in a church somewhere? A youth group with people, followers of Christ in it, who loved her and accepted her as she was. Do you think her life would turn out different if that had been the case? Of course, right? Because your friends determine the direction and the quality of your life. So we're going to leave it at that. Your homework is very simple. Ask yourself, if you're a Christian, ask God to reveal to you, okay? God, how do I put some guardrails in my relationships? Who do I associate myself with right now that I should stop associating myself with? Who should I start associating myself with right now so that I can go further, faster into the direction that I want to go? That's why Sid says, you know, in this church, we created this different environments, these different spaces, the small group environments, the small group spaces, for example, are there to help you to belong to an authentic community, a community that accepts you as you are. You don't have to put on a mask when you meet. You don't have to pretend to be a super Christian. You can just say, man, I'm struggling. Man, I'm depressed. Man, I have suicidal thoughts, you know. You can belong to such an authentic community because we all need one another. You're not always going to be at the top. Sometimes you're at the bottom. You know, we need to be there for one another. That's why we encourage you, if you have not belonged to a small group, to go to the connection desk and sign up, because your friends determine the direction and the quality of your life. We're going to leave it there, and we're going to pick it up again next week. Make sure you invite your friends to come.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.